This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Beruchim Abim Rav Rabotai. Welcome to the third yard site, the Moreinu Rabbeinu of Aaron Walkin Zatzal. It's very hard to stand up here and believe that it's already 3 years since our Rosh Yeshiva has left us. A man that has literally gave his life, his soul, for the Talmidim, for the students, for the community. I can attest to that. Baruch Hashem, the more or less 17 years that we knew each other. Me'ein olam habay, always with a smile, always happy, always encouraging, giving chizuk, giving inspiration. We're going to hear a lot from the Rabbanim that are going to be speaking about. But the idea of tonight is that we should, Be'ezat Hashem, learn from this tzaddik and to grow ourselves, to become better people in his merit, in his chut, Be'ezat Hashem, Shehava Aliyah V'Neshama. So what better way to start off by having his brother, who is Mezakeh et HaRabim as well, director of the Chazak J-Wave Teens Division, does so much for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people, for so many years, and a very, very special love, of course, for each other, and that we're going to ask for our Avram Walk and Shlita to give us some Devei Chizuk, some words of inspiration.
Good evening. It's not easy to stand here tonight, knowing why we came together here. My brother Zatzal was not just my brother, he was also my Rebbe. And, you know, people ask me, now that my brother is not, you know, with Niftar, who do I come to, who do I ask? And I told him I haven't found anyone yet, and that's the MS. You know, my father, and I ask here and there. But my brother was mamish, my posek, my therapist, my brother. He was everything to me, and he was a very, very big tzaddik, very, very special man. I want to start off by mentioning something from the Haggadah Shel Pesach, which I think ties into who my brother really was. Is, actually, I didn't say was, he's still living with us, through his Sfarim, through his children, through his Talmidim. In Haggadah Shel Pesach, we know there are four children, but where do we get this concept of these four children? The Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, and the She'eni Yodeh Lishol. So we get it from a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'hoya ki yishal bincha, yishalu bincha, it will be when your child will ask, your children will ask. And from the word bincha, we say there's not just one child, there's numerous children. And who are these children? The Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, and the She'eni Yodeh Lishol. Those are the children that could possibly even ask questions. These are the four characteristics of different kinds of children. So there's a Gemara that actually says that whatever it says, the Lashon, Vayehi, it's a Lashon of sadness. The Gemara in Megillah says whenever the Torah, whenever in the Nevi'im it says the word Vayehi, it's a Lashon of difficult times for Klal Yisrael. For example, Vayehi b'mei shvoit ha-shoiftim was a difficult time Klal Yisrael had with the Plishtim. Vayehi b'mei achashverosh, there was a difficult time in Haman and Achashverosh. But whenever it says the Lashon v'hoya, it's a Lashon of happiness and good tidings for Klal Yisrael. So there's a question here. It says v'hoya ki yishalu bincha, it will be when your children will ask. And it's a Lashon of simcha and joy, but one of your children is a rasha. How could you universally say that it's a time of great joy when your children will ask, when one of your children is a rasha? So that's question number one. Question number two, what do? We ask this child of ours, this rasha, and we say, we want you to come to the Pesach Seder, we want you to partake with us, we want you to be part of the Seder, please come. Okay? Then what do we have in mind? That we're going to let him ask questions. Please ask what any questions you want. Then he goes and he asks. And then what do we tell him? You know, we start answering him, and then we say we knock his teeth out. What, at this table, we knock his teeth out. And then we also tell him that if he would have been the Ilu HaYasham, if he would have been in Mitzrayim, Lo HaYenigal, he never would have been taken out, he would have remained there. There's another few questions arise here. Why would you expose the rest of your children to this son? You could love him, you could want to spend time with him, but you want him at your table with, who knows, I don't know, earrings, nose rings, ponytails, what's the difference, tattoos, I don't know what's going on, but People have difficulties. People have difficult children. Why would you expose your other children, particularly on this night? Take him out to eat once in a while, spend time with him. You don't want him to just sit at this table. And then you tell him to go ask questions. Ask whatever questions you have against Judaism. Please, our other children are here. Ask whatever you want. And then as soon as he asks, we become violent. What do? You knock his teeth out at the table in front of the other kids. And then we tell him if he would have been there, he wouldn't have been redeemed. Do you think he cares? Do you think he actually cares? By the way, if you would have been a Mitzrayim, then you would have remained there. He doesn't even believe maybe in this story at all, and he doesn't even care. So what's going on here? What's going on here? So the night of Pesach is called Leil Shimurim. It's a night of watching. It's a night that Hashem watches not just physically. He watches spiritually. He's watching over the neshamot of Klal Yisrael. So Hashem says, I want this Rasha to come to this table. It's on me tonight. Tonight's on me. Tonight, I take achrayut. Everybody comes to the table. But I also want him to ask questions. I want him to ask questions. And Hake Chidav, the Gemara says that the Loshon Hake, that doesn't refer to the Haggadah, but the Loshon of Hake can also mean from a word of Hikiyu HaBarzel, which means to soften and smooth out. To soften and smooth out metal. So the word Hake doesn't necessarily mean to knock, but could actually mean to soften, believe it or not. This Rasha has questions. He's angry. He's frustrated. He has lockjaw. He's upset. He wants to say his mind, speak his mind. So by letting him ask Hake Etchinov, you actually smooth out and you soften that anger and frustration. You soften that anger and frustration. Therefore what? Therefore he feels like he has someone that has heard him and someone that listens to him. What's the Lashon V'hoya? The fact that he's by your table is a reason to be besimcha. V'hoya is teaching you, be besimcha, because he comes to your table. Because ilu ha-yasham, if you'd be someplace else, lo ha-yinigal, you would have no shot of bringing him back. So the fact that he comes to your table is a reason to be besimcha, is a reason to have joy, because there's a chance, there's an opportunity. You know, they say over in the European world, they say over that there's a fifth child. There's a fifth child, actually. Who's that fifth child? The one that doesn't even come to the table. The one that doesn't even come to the table, he's the fifth child. You don't even know where he's at, what he's doing. Therefore, the fact that he comes to your table is the reason to be besimcha. And the fact that you let him ask, you have opportunity, you have a dibur with him, that can change him. That could change him. Because if he wasn't there, you would never be able to save him and have a chance with him. So my brother, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, one of, besides being an unbelievable Talmud Chacham, not just in the Ashkenaz halacha, but even in all Svardi halacha, his Yalkut Yosef knowledge, his everything from Ravad Yosef, every psak, he knew it. He knew. I can't say he knew it all, because nobody knows the whole Torah. But he was as close as a human being can get at his age, at 53 years old, when he was Nifta, right? 52 actually. No, he was Nifta at 52, I'm 55, and he was only 54? 54 years old. What the knowledge that he knew was something that, for his age, I've never seen it. But besides for all his knowledge, besides for his greatness in learning, the way, the sprach that he had with every human being was unbelievable. You know, when my brother was Nifta, I would meet people in the street, and they would say, your brother? I was his most favorite student. I was his favorite student. You know how close I was with your brother? We were like this, inseparable. Now, I know my brother has a certain amount of hours a day, hundreds of people being his closest student, inseparable. It's a lot of people walking in the street with him. But it was just an incredible thing that because the way he spoke to people, the way he dealt with people, the way he understood people, the way he cared for people, the way everyone felt, I was his most favorite, you know. He used to tell me I'm his favorite brother. No, I'm just kidding. But I will tell you, I was very close to him, and I would call him day and night with not just halachic questions, but even emotional questions, philosophical questions, how do I deal with situations at home. And I will tell you, the greatness of a posek is not that he knows halacha, is that he knows halacha for each individual. For one person, the halacha could be one way, and the same story, the same she'ela, is a different answer to someone else because he understood the human being that was standing in front of him that asked the question. So we're talking about something that doesn't, I don't say doesn't exist today, but it's very, very far removed from, you know, from years past. I mean, I was privy, I was zocher to see many times Rav Shach, Stipler a few times, Reb Chaim Kanievsky. I would go every single year for like a good 12-year period just to get the bracha of Hatzlacha. And then when it went to Buha, it wasn't worth it. No, so but I would go for the Buha too. I would come mamish just to see Reb Chaim Kanievsky's face. Just to see Reb Chaim Kanievsky's face was worth it. That I would take a 3-4 day trip. I would always arrange it where it doesn't coincide with my teaching, whether it was right after Pesach or whatever it was. But I would make the journey. I would make the journey just to say I was here. So, you know, I saw many gedolim. I saw Reb Aaron Leib Steinman. But my brother was so unique in a generation in America. That was his uniqueness. In a gullus that sometimes resides around us, he was that shining light. He was the one that understood the generation, understood the people in that generation, in that community, and he knew what Psak Halacha was for each individual. I actually once called him up about something. I remember it was around 11:30 at night. And I asked him a question about something. And then I said to him, you know, should I just answer? Somebody asked me a question. So I said, let me ask my brother. So I said, should I answer, you know, what you told me a while back regarding? He says, no, because I need to know the situation of the person. I need to know where he's coming from. I need to know his background. I need to understand, you know, who he is so that I could actually paskin what's catered for him. And it was always, Emes Lamita, what the answer should be. He was so clear, he was so understanding. And you know what? He would sometimes tell me, give me an hour or two, let me think about it. That was his thing. Let me think about it. He didn't just jump, not because he didn't have the answer. He wanted to make sure he understood the situation before he gave a psak. So how many people do we have today in our generation like that? How many people in America do we have like that today? I mean, Baruch Hashem, we're with Zochet to Rabbanim and Bnei Torah and Tamidei Chachamim. But my brother was the complete package. Midot, his love, his smile, his caring. Whether you were 75 years old and a Gadol Hador, or you were a pre-1A kid in kindergarten, or kindergarten kid, or pre-1A kid in yeshiva, he would have the same love and respect because he knew he was standing in front of a child of Hashem, a Tzelem Elohim. So, listen, it's a big loss, but my brother Baruch Hashem is living through Baruch Hashem his Talmidim, and he's living through his Sfarim. I mean, it's amazing the stuff that's coming out. And I will tell you something very impressive. He has very wonderful, you know, children, Baruch Hashem. But the avodah that these children put into his Sfarim and into his legacy, and to making sure that his Torah, not only is it not forgotten, but it's given out to the masses, is a big bracha to him and to his children. Big bracha, they upped their game to the point where they became kulay in avodas Hashem, to get close to Hashem, to give out his Torah. And this, the love that they have when he gives it out, I'm telling you now, it's just so amazing. It's so amazing to see children that rally around a father that's not around, but to keep his memory alive and his Torah alive. So it's a big schos. You know, I said something last year, and I'm just going to repeat it, because I just think it's a very, very, very valuable lesson. You know, it says, but Yaakov Avinu, when Yosef went missing, Yosef wasn't killed, and Yosef was, when Yosef disappeared, okay? It said that for 22 years, Yaakov Avinu did not have Ruach HaKodesh. For 22 years, and why didn't he have? Because he wasn't besimcha enough, there wasn't enough joy in him, that he should, the Ruach HaKodesh should rest on him. Now the obvious question should be asked, Yaakov Avinu, Bechir Sheva Avos. Yaakov Avinu had Torah, Yishmael, he had all of it. He had all the Avos that was instilled in him, all their greatness, and he was zeichet to have the 12 Shvatim from him. Yaakov Avinu should have, Hashem, Yosef goes missing, Yaakov Avinu should have said, Hashem, I trust in you. Command Avrachmana Letava, Gamzu Letoiva. Hashem, if this is what you want, I accept it and I move on and I'm besimcha. Besides, Klal Yisrael lost 22 years. The Shvatim lost 22 years of Yaakov Avinu's Ruach HaKodesh, the Simcha, the joy. You know what they lost out on? What is it that Yaakov Avinu couldn't find Simcha after the story of Yosef's disappearance, missing, you know, being sold? Besides, the Eibishter also causes Shikcha. a person has shikha, a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a gift to a human being that he can have forgetfulness, so he can move on, that he could find joy in difficult situations, he could find joy after tragedy. So what was it about Yaakov Avinu? Emunah betachon, Yaakov Avinu, the Emunah betachon Yaakov always had, yet he couldn't get over it. He couldn't just say, Hashem, it's been already a few months. I trust in you. I'm going to do what I need to do, and I'm going to be besimcha for my children, for the rest of Klal Yisrael, for the Shvatim. So Moshe Sternbach says an unbelievable thing. He says, when a person has a personal loss, for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a certain amount of shikha. When a person has a personal loss, there's a certain amount of forgetfulness so that he can move on. But when the community, when Klal Yisrael has a loss, for that there's no forgetting. Yaakov Avinu didn't lament the loss of Yosef from a personal standpoint. He was crying over the loss that Klal Yisrael lost Yosef. That Klal Yisrael will never have another Yosef, you know, coming out. Yosef was all his Torah was given over to Yosef. Yaakov Avinu's greatest Talmud was Yosef. So he wasn't crying over his loss. He was crying over the loss that Klal Yisrael lost to Yosef. And for that, there isn't forgetfulness so quickly. The message that Yaakov was sending, that when somebody that's needed and important to a community, when somebody is needed for the Klal, you just don't get over something like that. That stays with you. The message of losing something like that stays with a person. When a Rebbe, when a Talmud loses a Rebbe, it's not just for the moment, it's not just for the week, it's for a lifetime. So my brother was everybody's Rebbe. He was everybody's Rebbe. So we need to keep his Torah alive. We need to keep his what he stood for alive. And we do that through his Torah, through his Sfarim, through talking to his Talmidim and asking them, tell me something about your Rebbe that stood out. Tell me something about your Rebbe that stood out. And the amazing thing is that you ask different Talmidim, and everybody has a different answer what stood out about a person. He wasn't just one-dimensional, he was multitasked, multifaceted. My brother had midos, Torah, avoda, crying, caring, rachmanis. All the midos a person needs, my brother had them, and he gave it over to his Talmidim. So when you speak to a Talmud, and he tells you, oh, best in chesed, you know, with the greatest smile, the warmest person, best jokes, the best, whatever it was, every person found in my brother what he needed to find. So his memory should continue, Yehi Zichron Baruch, and we should learn his Torah, we should get involved in his learnings. His Sfarim just came out, it's amazing, Hilchas Nida, the Haggadah Shel Pesach just came out, actually 2-3 days ago, right? 4 days ago? Beginning of the week. It's pretty much beginning of the week. So the bottom line is, everybody buy the Sfarim, learn the Sfarim, get involved in the Sfarim, and that's how you keep your Rebbe, my brother's name, alive within you through his Torah. Thank you for listening and thank you for coming.
Shkarach Rebbe Avram, what words of inspiration. Just for the record, every single Wednesday night, Rebbe Avram Walken is over here giving the weekly Chabura full of energy and passion. It's amazing. I encourage everyone to join Bezat Hashem. I'd like to mention two qualities that we can learn from our Rosh Yeshiva, the Tzav of Aaron Walken. The first and foremost is a way to connect Parshiyat HaShavua, this week's Torah portions, and the time of period which we are in right now, which is Pesach, and also the Yahrzeit. So the first and foremost is time, Zman. The Rav would not waste time. Not waste time. I would, tell the Rav, there's this meeting, there's this and that. Is it important? I'm like, yes, Rebbe, it's important. Okay, how long do I need to be there for? I'm like, what does it mean? There's a meeting. He's like, do I need to be there for all the time? Can I be there for just a little bit? Can I just pop in? Time was of essence for the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal. As much time as possible, he was what? Sitting and learning Torah. So, of course, with Pesach, it's a very simple connection. What's the difference with Chametz and Matzah? It's time. A few moments. That's what it is. And Parashiyot HaShavua, these weeks of Sefer Vayikra we just started, talks about what? The Korbanot. The sacrifice, the offering. And when a person would give a sacrifice, a Korban, he would say a declaration. What would he say? Korban Lamonai. which means this korban is for Hashem. The Chachamim tell us it should really be Lamunai korban. For God is the korban. Why is it not? Because of a split second that something could change. And what is that? That if you say God's name first, Lamonai first, then Korban, then Chas V'Shalom, God forbid, someone might faint, pass away, Chas V'Shalom, have a heart attack, whatever it may be, and he'll say God's name in vain. He'll say Hashem's name, and because of that, we have Korban Lamonai. The power, the essence, the importance of every single second, every single shnia, every single moment a person has, the Meiri says this, a person has to always be growing. Always be growing. Always be going up the ladder. As a Jew, as a Yehudi, we have to always be growing. If a Jew is the same Jew, right now we're about to have Pesach. And after Pesach you're the same person, then you're compared to be like a chamor. What's that? A donkey. You're no different than a donkey. Why is that? Because a donkey is the same donkey in the oat season, the barley seasons, and whatever season it is, it's always the same donkey. But us Yehudim, every single moment we have an opportunity, what do we have to do? We have to always try to grow. Always try to do more. And we see it even with the words. How do you say 1 second in Hebrew? Shnia. Shnia is very similar to the word shinui. What does that mean? Every second, what do we have to do? What shinui mean?
Change.
To change. You know the word for month. How do you say that in Hebrew? Chodesh is itchadshut, which is a renewal. Chadash. We have to always renew. And of course, in a year in Hebrew is shana, which is also similar to shinui. Every single second, every single month, every single year, as a Jew, we have to always be B'nai Aliyah. We have to always be growing. We have to always take more upon ourselves and do more. And not be satisfied and say, I'm fine. Chas V'Shalom, God forbid, if you think you're fine, you're going down the escalator. We all know as children, what will we do? The escalator is going down. We're always trying to go up, right? And what happens is, what's the secret to getting all the way up there? Ravila, my brother, always says this, is you have to have a quick pace, always running, pushing, going. What happens if you're Zeriz and then you stop? You're going to go. What if you take it easy? You're going to fall down. Yeah, the secret of going all the way up there is not wasting any time. Always having that pace. Always growing. Always doing more. Never being satisfied. Moreover, it's a known thing that the Chofetz Chaim, Yisrael Meir HaKoyin, the Baal Chofetz Chaim, Mishnah Brura, would not wear shoelaces. He would wear shoes without shoelaces. And what's the reason for that? It's because of time. It takes time to tie your shoelaces, and he calculated, I forget the numbers. It takes a few seconds every single day, which adds up to a few minutes, which adds up to a few hours. And eventually in a lifetime, it's a few days, with what I understand. He didn't want to waste his time. Rav Noach Weinberg, the famed Rosh Yeshiva of Eish HaTorah, he would always say that you ever see people throwing out $5 bills out the window on the bus, and people would be like, "Where am I? What are you talking about?" He's like, "I see it all the time. You don't see people throwing $5 bills out the window?" They're like, "Rabbi, where's the bus? We'll go. We'll collect the $5 bill." He's like, "I see it all the time. You don't see it." They're like, "No, Rabbi, what are you talking about?" He's like, "I go on the bus all the time, and what do I see? People staring out the window. Isn't there a saying? What's the saying? Go, time is." So in essence, what are they doing? They're taking money, they're taking $5 bills, and they're throwing it out the window. Same thing with us. Why is it that we don't take our time and spend it wisely? Take our time and spend it wisely. Open up a sefer. Take upon yourself one of these small sfarim and learn it slowly, but surely, little by little, little by little. You'll see how much you accumulate. Another drop and another drop and another drop, like Rabbi Akiva, the famous story with Rabbi Akiva. We have to take this one thing, Be'ezat Hashem, Bli Neder, upon ourselves, like Rav Aaron Malkin, like our Rebbe Zatzal, took upon himself, not to waste time. That's the first thing. And the second quality is the importance of Limuda Torah, learning Torah. This was his biggest thing. At Chazak Baruch Hashem, the way it all started was a parsha paper at first. It went around the different shuls. And then there was shiurim, there were lectures. Now Baruch Hashem, the lectures have inspired tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, Baruch Hashem, over the years. If not more, Baruch Hashem. But the Rosh Yeshiva said that it's time to have serious learning. It's good to shiurim, it's great. But we got to take it to the next level. And Baruch Hashem, Chaz Hashem, the rabbi had for many, many years in Ol Simcha a Bet Midrash and Kol, but there was a certain kufa, one of the kids weren't feeling well, there was a stop, and Chazak Baruch Hashem took it over, and we started the Bet Midrash and Kol, which is going Baruch Hashem, continuing strong very, very nicely. But the idea was Chashivut, the importance of Limuda Torah. As much as possible, every single one of us should take it upon ourselves to increase in Limud Torah. Like Rabbi Avram Walkin said, Baruch Hashem, the children are doing an amazing job continuing the legacy of the Rosh Yeshiva. They, Baruch Hashem, published a Sefer on the Chidushim of Sefer Bereshit. They, Baruch Hashem, came up with the Sefer Shar Isurim, the gates of trouble, difficulties, Baruch Hashem, which is very inspiring. I went through it, loved every single word. And then more recently, Baruch Hashem, a Sefer in Hilchot Nida, and just now, Haggadah Shel Pesach, Baruch Hashem, Yishtabach Shemo La'ad. What an amazing Aliyah v'neshama would it be if we're able to, Baruch Hashem, take the Sefarim of the Rav, of the Chidushim, and to learn it. But I always say, you have to share the wealth. Lama speak, it's not enough just to read. Oh, that was nice. That share it as much as possible. Give it over to others. Family members, friends, neighbors. You have a person, you have an individual, and you see him on the street. What do people do? Oh, the weather is very nice. Oh, you heard what happened to Trump? Oh, you heard what happened going to this part of the world? Oh, you heard what happened to that guy? You heard about the newest Russian? What are you talking about? Shtiyot. Talk about something which is Etz Chaim Hile Machazekimba. It's a tree of life. For all those that hold on to it, and that's Torah. As much as possible, talk with others, Torah. Talk with others, mitzvot. Talk with others about good things. That's what every single one of us should, Be'ezrat Hashem, take upon ourselves. Two things. Number one is, Be'ezrat Hashem, bli neder. Two, not waste time. Take our time seriously. Be'ezrat Hashem, take our time. And Be'ezrat Hashem, do good things with it. Torah, mitzvot, ma'asim, tovim. And number two is to increase in Limud Torah. Be'ezrat Hashem, after the Divrei Zichronot, we're going to have a learning program over here. Because we felt that's the biggest thing the Rosh Yeshiva would have wanted from all of us, to sit and to learn Torah. At this time, it's my big honor to call upon a Rafael Baruch Zavalunov, a very, very close Tamid, Avrech from Rav Aaron Walkin Zatzal, the Rav of Congregation Or HaTorah B'Chavad Arav.
Erev Torah, Rabotai. Chodesh Tov. It's funny, I walked in when Rav Yaniv was saying not to waste time, and here I am coming in very, very past when I should have been here. But I spent the past few days thinking what I'm going to be speaking about. Obviously, I spent some years with Rav Aaron Walkin, very, very formative years, basically. The years where he shaped my personality and he put me on this path, which I'm still, Baruch Hashem, walking down today. But I was trying to think of concrete things to say, maybe something new that I could come up with, and a conversation came up a few days ago with another Talmud of Rebbe about a different point. And he said a line that kind of stuck with me. I've been thinking about it the past few days. He said that there was a Talmud that was very, very close to his Rebbe. He was following him wherever he went. And his Rebbe once realized that he's, you know, sort of like his tail. He turns right, he turns right. He turns left, he turns left. So his Rebbe took the Talmud to the side and said, I want you to know, a Rebbe is supposed to be like a father. Right? The Gemara says that Talmidim, The Torah calls them banim. V'shanamtim l'banecha elu abanim. These are, when it says you should teach your children, the Gemara says it's referring to the talmidim, to the students a person has. So the role of a teacher is supposed to be like a father to his children. So this Rav told him, you should know that a successful father is not somebody who his son is always stuck to him and he never leaves his side. Yeah, when he's in the beginning, you have to be like that. He says a successful father is somebody who can put his son in a matzav, in a situation where he can be his own person. He gets to a certain age, and he's already independent and mature enough that even without his father, he does the right thing. He's not going to need somebody as a crutch next to him for the rest of his life. He's somebody who gave him enough tools, enough maturity, enough hadracha, enough guidance, that's it. This person can now continue walking in the right direction. That's really what Aaron Wilkins, Zechat Tzadik L'Rachel, was for me, and I think he was like that for a lot of people. And today when I was looking through Sefer just to see if I could say something which was appropriate for the Yom Tov and for the Yahrzeit, came across a ma'amar that I think kind of brings out this point. Rav Yitzchak Huttner, the founder of Yeshiva Chaim Berlin, talking about a totally different point. In the Sipur Yitzhak Mitzrayim, he quotes something that Chazal say about Briyat HaOlam, about the creation of the world. We all say on these Mizmorim, before Baruch Shamar and Shabbat, there's a long list of things that we end off with Kila Olam Hazdo. Hodu Hashem Kitov, Kila Olam Hazdo. Hodu Elokei Elokim, Kila Olam Hazdo. What is the translation of these words? Kila Olam Hazdo. His kindness is eternal, it's forever. So the Gemara says, why do we have this phrase repeated so many times? You count, it's 26 times that it's repeated. 26 times to repeat the same thing over and over. You could have just made a list, and at the end of it say, thank you Hashem for everything, Kila Olam Hazdo. Hashem's kindness is forever. So the Gemara says that it's really a reference to the 26 generations that preceded the giving of the Torah. From Adam Rishon until Moshe Rabbeinu, not sure if it's including Moshe Rabbeinu or not including his generation, but 26 generations passed since Briyat HaOlam until the Torah was given. What does that have to do with Kila Olam Hazdo? The Gemara says, because at that point, before the Torah was given, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Zanat HaOlam Bechinam. They didn't really have sufficient zchuyot. They didn't have merits to be able to sustain themselves. Despite the fact that there were tremendous tzaddikim, Noach was there, and Adam HaRishon, and Avraham Avinu, but the world as a whole didn't have zchut to continue. Once the Torah was accepted, it's not chesed anymore. It's, so to speak, badin. The fact that there are people in the world that accepted the Torah and they're following it, he says now the world has some sort of an argument that it could say, we deserve to exist. Look, we're doing something to help our own existence. It's not no longer just chesed. So Futner says that, so what does that mean? That once the Torah was given, so Hashem is now less kind. Before that, he was feeding people stam. He doesn't deserve it, I'm going to give him anyway. He doesn't deserve it, I'm going to give him anyway. And once the Torah was given, his kindness became less. Now he says you have to work for it. Lo yitachen, he says, it can't be that Hashem became less kind. So he says a mashal, it's a very simple mashal for people to understand that already have children. He says, what's considered to be a bigger chesed? Father to son, or even friend to friend. You have a friend, he lost his job, he went through a terrible thing, and now he's coming to you and says, help me. What's a bigger chesed? You give him a check every month? Or you tell him, you know what, let me find you a job. Let me find you, put you back on your feet. What's considered to be a bigger chesed? In halacha, it says clearly, the bigger chesed is for a person to be taught a job so he doesn't rely on somebody else constantly. You'll say, really? That's a bigger chesed? The second guy, the one who gives the check, he spends more money. It sounds like he's doing something much more substantial. Every month, he's taking money out of his account to feed this person. The first guy, he gave him a tip, maybe he put in a little bit of money in the beginning, and that's it. The person we helped, now he's able to sustain himself. So that looks like a smaller chesed, and the second guy looks like the bigger chesed. And yet in halacha we see that if a person gives somebody a job, he teaches somebody a skill that he can sustain himself, he doesn't have to now go and beg or knock on doors, that's considered to be a much bigger chesed. Says Rav Huttner, when the world existed before Matan Torah, it was a chesed. Hashem gave us existence for free, quote-unquote. But it was a smaller form of chesed. Why? Because, sof kol sof, we knew we were undeserving. Now that we got the Torah, and that we're able to keep the mitzvot, hagam, despite the fact that most of what we're keeping, Hashem is constantly helping us. Baruch Hashem, we have a place to daven in, we have svarim to learn from, we have rabbanim to teach us, we have all sorts of things that are assisting us to make sure that we're continuing to keep the Torah. But it's us too, it's not only Hashem. We're making the right choice, we're going there fighting a yetzer hara. So it's not just Hashem is in the picture and that's us, not nothing. We also have our part in it. That's a much bigger chesed on Hashem's part. The fact that He made us, quote-unquote, self-sufficient people. And I remembered when I read this ma'amar, this conversation that I had with my friend, that's exactly what Rabbi Wolkin did for me, and that's what he did with many, many people in this community, many of whom today, Baruch Hashem, are leaders, rabbanim of shuls, and teachers in schools, and all sorts of mashpi'im, people who are influencing the community to push them in the right direction. Yes, I'll say the truth. I didn't call Rabbi Wolkin every single day, not every single week. We had, Baruch Hashem, times that I would call him around the holiday times. I would see him here to there, come into the kollel and with Yosef Chaif occasionally. And every time I would see him and say, wow, I really should do this more often. I didn't do it so often. I wish I did. But the fact that he was there at that right time to give each person his tools, to give each person his right mindset, to teach him, you know, this is when you see a situation like this, this is how you should dissect it. This is how you should analyze it. And now already for the rest of their life, it's true. Baruch Hashem, we've moved on. Baruch Hashem, we've matured, we've grown. But it's only because somebody put that initial investment in us. That's the biggest chesed that Rabbi Wolkin could have done. I remember him himself, I believe it was a newspaper article that he published in someone else's Yahrzeit, that asked this question. One of the Tanaim, Rabbi Eliezer, I believe, about him it said that Rabbi Eliezer was very makpid, Rabbi Eliezer Gadol, was very makpid, very careful that he would not say divrei Torah that he did not hear from his Rebbe. The Gemara even records an incident that they asked him a question he didn't want to answer. He just kept pushing them off to something else. Says the Gemara, why didn't he answer? He knew the answer. Okay, he didn't hear it from his Rebbe, he didn't want to say something on his own. So it sounds like he was very like a copy machine. He heard A, he said A. He heard B, he said B. He didn't hear C, so he wouldn't say C. Rabbi Wolkin said that we have a problem. There's another Chazal that says that Rabbi Eliezer once got up and he gave a drasha. Says the Lashon Chazal is Dvarim Shelo Shama'ata Ozen. It was things that no ear ever heard. In other words, Chidushim, things which are completely new. And his Rebbe were sitting over there and they were very taking pride in the fact that he was saying all these things. And how's it possible that he never said something that his Rebbe would not say? And at the same time, here we know that he said Chidushim that were completely original. The answer Rebbe gave was that it's not pshat that Rabbi Eliezer was a copy machine. He only said things verbatim. I heard it this way. I didn't hear, you know, these pratim. I didn't say those things. It wasn't that. He was able to understand his Rebbe's mindset to be able to say, what would my Rebbe say in this situation? Yes, I didn't see my Rebbe in this situation. But what do I think he, how would we deal with it? How would he react? How would he dissect it? That's what Rabbi Eliezer got. That's what it means that if it was a new mahalach, some kind of a new philosophy, he didn't want to touch it. But he says, I don't think my Rebbe would do such a thing. But certainly there were things that he came up on his own because he was already an adult. He matured and he went past what his Rebbe taught us. But I think it's a very, very important point. Because sof kol sof, many people will say over here, I only knew him for 2 years, I only knew him for 3 years, that people are zochei Baruch Hashem to know him for 10 years. But you know, 10 years is not my whole life. I'm going to live 70, 80, 90 years. I'm going to have other people influencing me. So that means only 10 years of influence, it's a lifetime of influence. Rav Yaniv can testify, Rav Ilan can testify, I can testify, and there are many other Rabbanim. The zichronot, the memories that we carry from the things that we saw, how he reacted to different situations, how he spoke to people. Regular people came in, balabatim, sometimes with Tamid Chachamim, yeshiva bachrim, all sorts, from all the different spectrum of the community. With what kind of a care, with what kind of a concern, where he was tough, where he was soft. All these things made a roshan, made an impression on each and every one of us. And now each and every one of us is already walking forward, trying to apply it in our own life. Yeah, differently, it's true, we're not all the same. But you could see, definitely, this was a student of Rabbi Wolkin. It's a different person. The person who saw, I remember Rabbi saying, quoting this famous Chazal, that Og was called Og Melech HaBashan. Why? Because when he came to tell Avraham Avinu that Lot was captured, at that time it was Pesach, and Avraham Avinu was making Ugot. He was baking the matzot. So for that reason, they gave him the name Og. He says, "What kind of, that's a reason to give a person a name? I walk into a house and I see a guy cleaning his walls, and you call him Walls. Because when I walked in, I saw this guy cleaning his walls. So that's the nickname he got for the rest of his life. Ma Kesher, that's a name for the reason for to give a person a name. He says, no, you don't understand. If you would see how Avraham Avinu made matzot, it would make an impression on you for the rest of your life. You would be a different person. People would say, that guy saw Avraham Avinu. It's not the same. Not the same person. That person saw Avraham Avinu, and he saw Avraham Avinu making matzot. You know the itla avut he had? Even Og, who was a Rasha Merusha, he had an effect on him. So much that that became his name. That's how the Torah calls him. Og, this was a person, a Rasha, who saw a tzaddik baking matzot. In the very same way, you see somebody who had shaykhud, who had some kind of a connection to Rabbi Wolkin, it's a different person. It's a different connection. I come across people all the time. I remember the Chumashir. Wow, unbelievable. That was a Chumashir. Well, we remember how we used to deal with Shailot. People used to come in and interrupt him in the middle of a thought. How he used to, he had his jokes that he used to itch people with, all kinds of things he used to say. This person saw how Rabbi Wolkin was in action. It was a different experience. That's something that even though we had all very small exposure to, he should have been with us for a long, long time. He could have done so much more to impact this community. But the little bit that he did, it's going to carry a great impact. Just that we have to make sure that we don't cover it over with other things, that we don't, so to speak, muddle the message. Like Rav Meirov was saying it just as I walked in. Very, very important for all the people in the Keilah here to understand. We will not change unless we have Limud HaTorah. It's impossible. Impossible for a person to change unless he has a real Limud HaTorah. Not lectures, not videos, not, you know, Parsha sheets. Actual real Limud with the Chavruta inside the Bet Midrash. There is no substitute for it. No substitute for it. Those that went through this system, they know the difference. It's not even something you could explain to someone else. We had a conversation really recently with somebody in the Bet Midrash. Good person, very well-meaning, wants to learn, wants to change. And he asked me an honest question. What is the recipe? Tell me, what should I do? Like step by step, give me 10 steps. How do I come from the way where I am to be a Ben Torah? That was basically his words. How do I become a Ben Torah? Which book should I read? It's not a question of reading books. You have to be in the environment around the Rebbeim, around the Talmidim. You have to be in the Bet Midrash. It's impossible to just, you know, describe it on paper and watch a video somewhere and sit down and read a book on your own time somewhere in the bus. All those things are wonderful. But this is not going to substitute real change of a person to be in the Bet Midrash. That's certainly a legacy that Rabbi Wolkin left. Many, many, many times we heard this from him. When you come into the Bet Midrash, forget about everything, just learn. I remember, I'm sure everybody over here heard it as well. You walk into the door, he used to say, you hang your problems on the doorknob, don't worry, when you're finished, they'll still be there. No one's going to take them from you. You walk in, you disconnect yourself from everything, I'm here to learn for the next hour, two, three, whatever it is, this is going to be the thing that's going to change me, to make me into a different person. In that way, Rabbi Wolkin is still our father, and he's still influencing us, and still building us. And Be'ezat Hashem, you know, with every passing year, we think that, you know, another year without him, less influence, really just realize more and more how much we need people like this in our midst, how much we could have gained from him, how much we could have absorbed from him, and how many more situations comes up. I'm getting, you know, older, my beard is getting wider. How much I wish that I had a person like this that I could call and say, Rebbe, what do you think about this? Rebbe, what do you think about that? I want to hear, I want to know. Person with experience, person who is, you know, completely absorbed in Torah, who had so much exposure to Talmidei Chachamim. The amount of time that passes does not make the loss smaller. It just makes us realize more and more how much we're missing, how much last year we didn't chap that we were missing. Be'ezat Hashem, Yehi Zichro Baruch, his Talmidim, Talmidei Talmidim, should increase by the scores, kiflei kiflaim, and Be'ezat Hashem, we should be zochet to Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehir b'yameinu. Amen.
I feel like Rabbi Rafal was, quote-unquote, from the first batch of Avrechim. We have with us Rabbi Tomer Zino Shlita, who is, I guess, from the newer batch of Avrechim. And we're going to ask Rabbi Zino, the Rabbi at Bet Gavriel, to give us some Divrei Chizuk.
Hazakim Ruchim, Erev Tov, Rabotai, Birshut, my dear Rabbi, Alav HaShalom, Shein Nishmato, B'Tzor Gan Eden Elyon. The Gemara Sechet Shabbat Kuf Yudalet tells us, so what is considered the sign of Talmid Chacham that you're able to give him B'tviut Ayin, that you can give him his lost object without a siman. You can just, he just claims it's mine and you're able to give it to him and you trust him just like that. So the Gemara gives a few criteria. One of them is, if a person is that a person is a maniyah hefzo, and he oseg beos hefzei shamayim. He leaves his personal dealings, he leaves his worldly matters, and he's busy with just the matters of shamayim, the matters of spiritual matters. This is exactly the befitting criteria of Talmid Chacham that Rabbi Wolkin alav shalom was, that everybody who came to speak to him obviously would feel that he is lamada min hateva, above nature. Everyone heard the major stories about him not sleeping, going through the night sleepless, praying for people every hour, mentioning names, continuing to learn, mentioning more names while he's learning, and then continuing to learn, and leaving the matters of this world literally, like a human being that does not need this world. And he was busy giving to the Tamidim, yes, I was Tamid for the last few years, but I left as if I learned with him 10 years, 15 years, and he changed so much of my life. I personally was going through a lot in my point in life. I just started Kollel, I just got married, and it was very difficult with a lot of things, but Adam Lechaveiro, when I'm dealing with a lot of different personalities, a lot of different people, you know, and I was obviously a little bit more of a coming from the rigid side, and I didn't understand how what it meant to just be so humble and just give in. You would read in Sfarim, a person should give in to another person. There's a tremendous zechut to a person who gets yelled at, insulted. He doesn't answer anything, and he goes out of his way to be extremely humble. Until I met Rabbi Wolkin, alav shalom, and you would see the tremendous ben adam lechaveiro, how a person would, you would, random people would come in, give him shalom aleichem, he would bring them to sit, and from that shalom aleichem, people would come and sit every single day, just from that one shalom aleichem, to go and sit every day to learn from the warmth, he would make learning so enjoyable. You would come every day to learn, you would expect those jokes, you expect the, how are you, is everything okay, everything's good with you, like as if he was your family member. And just from making those small inquiries, making those small ben adam lechavero moves, he brought everybody closer and closer to the Torah, and he made Torah learning so enjoyable. We were in Kollel, even we were learning such serious high-level Torah. He would make it so enjoyable. He would throw us jokes. He would go and throw us unexpected comments that we wouldn't expect, and he would bring us alive and make us involved. And it's a tremendous, tremendous experience to be with him. It's impossible to put into words, but just to see a living example of a person who's greater than you, who has mastered Ben Adam Lechaveiro. He used to tell us, you want pearls of wisdom? He used to tell us, well, what was the point of talking about somebody else? Can you be in that person's shoes? Can you imagine what, you don't even know what's going on in your own head. You know what the other person's thinking about? Does it make any sense to speak about another person and what they did? To hear this day in, day out, a person who understood so much about life and about Torah and about mitzvot and about how to be, he used to say you have to be normal, and he would make this sort of motion where a person would realize that you have to focus on what really matters. And he used to always tell us, like Rav Zavlunov used to say, he used to tell us, just learn and everything will be figured out. Just learn, everything will be okay. I did it my whole life, I can attest to that. And I'm telling you, you should do the same. Just learn, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will figure everything out for you. He used to tell us the famous story with Rabbi Birnbaum, alav shalom, Shmuel Birnbaum. And he used to say that he had a lady come to him, and she had a lot of tzarot, and she asked for a bracha. And the way he gave the bracha was, he turned to the side and he said, Abaye Rava, I studied your words diligently for years upon years. Now all I ask you is one small request. Please help this lady. Meaning to say that the zechut of the Torah, the zechut of Tanaim Amorim, the zechut of the Torah that we learned, this will be the zechut that all the greats in the Shamayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself will have mercy on all of us. And he knew the great zechut of the Torah. And that's what he fed us. He fed us, the community, he fed all of us. That he made our lives tremendously better through the learning of Torah, making it enjoyable, making a person want to come day after day after day. And the person has to do this himself. He taught us to ourselves also that we have to make sure that we're excited and happy and motivated to learn. And this gives the biggest bracha in our life. The Gemara also says that who is the Tamid Chacham? Another criteria for a Tamid Chacham is a person who you can ask him halacha in any place. Even Masech Kala, which is a small tractate that people don't usually study, if you ask him even in such a place and he knows the answer, he is considered Tamid Chacham. And that definitely goes on our Rebbe. Rav Shalom, we would ask him Shailot. Remember, there was a discussion about Uggs, if it's Shatnez, he would go open Shulchan Aruch, bring me Shulchan Aruch and open the laws of Shatnez. He would, we would ask him Zuzak questions, we would ask him every question. He even knew what Yakut Yosef said, even in all the Harot. He knew, he studied all of those. He's Ashkenazi, learning all the halachot for the Sfaradim. He knew how to paskin for both. It's unbelievable the amount of effort and toiling he did in Torah. And it's a lesson for all of us that it's possible, it's doable. We see a person who's living it, who's breathing it. It's hard to see biography upon biography and not to meet the person, but to finally you meet the person, to speak about him every year. It just brings memories upon memories, where we have to say to ourselves, we have to look at the people above us, we have to cling to them, we have to attach ourselves to them. Daf Kabo, the Pasuk says, you have to cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can you cleave to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Gemara says, you have to attach yourself to the people who are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Tamidei Chachamim, and we bring ourselves up. A person says, the Gemara says, a person should marry off his daughter, Talmid Chacham. He should do business for the Talmid Chacham. But imagine to learn with Talmid Chacham. A lot of people today, even Talmid Chachamim, they have to have shimush. They have to shimush gadol yoter milimuda, to study and to be by a great person is even greater than learning Torah itself. And a person sees an actual real time, the Torah coming alive. The Gemara Simcha Chakot says, the people, they stand for the Sefer Torah. They're foolish. They don't stand for the Talmid Chacham. It's a living Sefer Torah. And that's what the Rabbi Aaron Walkin Alav Hashem was, that he was a living Sefer Torah. He would see that the person can be funny, can be normal, a person can be a Gaon in Torah, he can be such a involved in the community all at once. It was a great sight to see. And it should be that we should be all Zuchut for him, all our students. We should perpetuate his name, perpetuate his Torah. Bezat Hashem, he is Zichro Baruch. And Bezat Hashem, all of us, we should continue to take the lessons we learned from him and push on to more and more, many more students. Bezat Hashem, Hazakim Baruchim Baruch Na'olam. Amen. Amen.
Erev Tov, Morai v'Rabotai. You know, it's very hard to believe that it's already 3 years since the tragic passing of the Rosh Hashiva of Aaron Walkin Zitzal. It's 3 years. We still feel the fire because his Sfarim are coming out right and left. His Shiurim is still out there, Baruch Hashem. But we're missing that giant of personality, that loving father, that figure that we got to see on a consistent basis. But if there's one thing I thought about today, you look at this room, everyone sitting tightly together, Baruch Hashem. 3 years ago at this time, it wasn't like that. Everyone was locked up in their homes. It was a pachad. It was a tremendous, maybe except the Hasidim, I'm saying most of us were locked up in our rooms, right? It was a tremendous pachad, you know, we didn't have minyanim, Pesach wasn't Pesach. So Baruch Hashem, you know, we have to have a karat hatov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're able to continue living our lives as Yidden in the proper fashion. I want to share with everyone a thought or two about the Haggadah Shel Pesach. There's a famous story in the Haggadah, with five rabbis, Maaseh b'Rabbi Eliezer, v'Rabbi Yoshua, v'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, v'Rabbi Akiva, v'Rabbi Tarfon. Five sages, Shayu Mitsubin b'Bnei Brak. They had their Pesach Seder together in Bnei Brak. And they were so into it. They started talking about the different midrashim and all the different chidushim and all the miracles that happened in Egypt, that they went on the whole night. No, we were dozing off by the second cup, third cup, right? But they were going, Baruch Hashem. And then their students came along and they said, Rabbis, Rabotenu, Higi Hazman Kriyat Shema Shacharit. It's already time for Shema of Shacharit. It's already daytime. Okay. Simple question I have for you. There have been many Gedolei Israel over the generations that stay up and they learn all night long and they stay up on Leil Seder. And they read about the Mitzrayim and the Yitziyah and the miracles and the Midrashim and the Halachot. I'm sure there's more than five rabbis that did this over the years. What's a chidush about it? Why do we need this introduction over here? What are we learning from here? There's many famous answers. I want to share with you one of the famous answers, because I believe this depicts the atmosphere that Rabbi Walkin Zatzal used to create while he was around. Who were these five rabbis? Look at their history, Rabotai. The first rabbi, Rabbi Eliezer. Anyone knows where he came from, what his history was, what his family background was?
He was a young man, right?
He was what?
He was a young man.
He was a young man at one point, yes, you're correct. But what was unique about him? He was a son of a multimillionaire. And he was an Amaretz. By the age of 28, he didn't even know how to say Kriyat Shema. He didn't know anything. He's a 28-year-old man. That was Burvan Aretz. Okay. Who was Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Yeshua said in the Gemara that he came into his house. The walls were all black. It looked like the house would collapse on you. He was so poor. Ani. He was very, 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 very poor. Who was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? What was his story? He was a Rosh Yeshiva at the age of 18 years old. He was, wow, 18 years old already, Rosh Yeshiva. What's the story of Rabbi Akiva? He's from a family of Gerim, of converts. At the age of 40, he started going to, you know, Yeshiva Ketana to learn Aleph Bet. 40 years old. And then you had Rabbi Tarfon. What was Rabbi Tarfon's story? Rabbi Tarfon was a self-made millionaire. He didn't inherit from his father. Baruch Hashem, he put it together himself. But you know what's amazing with these five rabbis? They represent everyone in this room. One person is rich because his father was rich. Rabbi Eliezer. And he was an Am Haaretz of 28. And he became one of the Gdolei Ador. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananiah was a poor man. Gdolei Ador. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rosh Hashiva at the age of 18. A young man became a Gdolei Ador. Rabbi Akiva, from a family of converts, 40 years old, doesn't know Aleph Bet. Gdolei Ador. And then Rabbi Tarfon, who was a very rich man, also Gdolei Ador. Anyone that would be under these categories today, they would say, Rabbi, you know, I have a very big business. I have no time to learn. Rabbi Tarfon had a bigger business than you. Rabbi, you know, I inherited my father. I have a whole operation. I don't even know how to say Shema Yisrael. Leave me alone. Rabbi Eliezer didn't know how to say Shema Yisrael at the age of 28 either. Rabbi, I'm a very poor man. I'm not able to make it. Rabbi Yeshua was very poor. Look what he became. Whatever excuse you have, Rabotai, Rabbi Akiva was a family of converts. Didn't know Aleph Bet of 40. Rabbi, I went to public school my whole life. Chazak Baruch, look at Rabbi Akiva. And look at them. They stayed up the whole night, let us say they're learning, talking, analyzing. The Haggadah is telling us, all of us have greatness inside of us. Those that look for excuses will have excuses to be a nobody. But those of you that want to grow, the sky is the limit. You know, the beauty of Rav Walkin Zatzal, anyone that had a zechut to be in his shul, I know many of you did. He had people of all levels sitting in that class. People that went to yeshiva, people that went to public school, people that are mamash begging for money, people that Baruch Hashem very wealthy, doctors, diamond dealers. And somehow you know to talk to everyone on their own level at the same time in one shul. He connected with everyone. Peleplein. And you saw in his lifetime, his short lifetime, he accomplished in his 55 years what people don't accomplish in 100 years. How many people he changed and brought them closer to the Torah. And he never let people give excuses. But Rabbi, what do you mean you? Oh, because you're too busy. Oh, you have too much money. You have no money. Everyone has his own excuse. Rabotai, this is something we have to be better work on. That's really the beauty of this program. This is every day of the week, Rabbi Yaniv?
Soon.
How often is this?
Yeah, Tuesdays and Thursdays, but after Pesach, every day.
No, Tuesday and Thursday, please delete this part, please, Rabotai. What's Tuesday and Thursday? It should be every day of the week. Every day of the week. Rabotai, no excuses. Come and learn. You have morning programs we have here and there, everywhere, Baruch Hashem, the community. Every day, V'gita b'yom v'layla. We have, what time? We have the very next statement in Haggadah as follows. So this Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he makes a proclamation. He says, "Hare ani keben 70 shana." Behold, I am like a 70-year-old man. How old was he? 18 years old. 18-year-old Rosh Yeshiva, right? Behold, I am like a 70-year-old man. Ve'lo zachiti she'te'amer yitzad mitzrayim balelot. What does that mean? We know we say Kriyat Shema. We obligate to say how many times a day? At least morning and night. Shema Yisrael. Morning and night. The obligation from the Torah. To say Shema in the morning and night time. Now, how many paragraphs do we have in Shema? We have three. The third paragraph discusses what? The parasha of Tzitzit talks about Tzitzit, and what else? Ends off talking about Yetziat Mitzrayim, about the story of Egypt. It's one pasuk. Ani Hashem Elokachem, Asher Otzeti Etchem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Right? I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt. Liyon Lechem Elokim. One sentence about Egypt. So says his rabbi, he says, I'm like a 70-year-old man, and I never found a source that you have to say the third paragraph of Shema, morning and night. I always thought only in the morning you have to say all three paragraphs, but at nighttime you only have to say the first two. You could skip the last one. But then he says, I found a source, and he brings a pasuk. Oh, you should say it also at nighttime. And that's a custom that we have today. We say all three paragraphs of Shema, morning and night. I have a very simple question for you. It bothered me when I was younger. Why is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah being so dramatic? Right? Behold, I'm like a 70-year-old man, and I never found a source, and then he gives you a source. What's a chidush over here? There's many chidushim all over the Gemara, and all over the Mishnayot, and the Poskim. No one gives such a dramatic introduction. Behold, I'm like a Seder, no, just say the chidush and don't give the introduction. Why this introduction? What was so powerful about his insight? Rabotai, so brought down something very interesting. I'll give you guys an example. I need a volunteer. Any volunteers there? Yes? Why are you volunteering for him? Huh? Yeah? Can we choose you? We'll choose you. Let's go. You eat breakfast in the morning? Yes? How long does it take you to eat breakfast? 10-15 minutes. Efe. How long does the breakfast keep you going for?
Some people
the whole day.
Huh?
2 hours.
Pharmacists, it keeps you going the whole day, I understand. But regular people, we have to have lunch afterwards. How long?
3-4 hours.
3-4 hours. Okay. You have lunch?
Yeah.
How long does it take you to eat lunch?
20 minutes.
20 minutes. How long does it keep you going for?
Also 3-4 hours.
Another 3-4 hours. You gotta get better food, Khabib. Well, only 3-4 hours. Right? And your supper, how long it takes you to eat?
Around 20, 30 minutes.
20, 30 minutes. And how long does it keep you going for? Till the next day. I had a good 10 hours. Baruch Hashem. Rabotai, listen carefully now. I'm telling you guys a very big foundation. When we say, Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Hoceti Etchem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, we're mentioning, I am Hashem your God. Hashem is saying, that took you out of Egypt. You know what this one sentence means? It shows you the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every aspect of creation. When we talk about the Yam, the oceans, what did Hashem do? Makat Dam, He hit it with water. All the water in the world became red for the Mitzrim. When you talk about Baalei Chaim in the water, He hit the frogs. You talk about animals on the land, we saw what He did to them. You talk about controlling the day and night. Boom, choshech. Talk about weather. Boom. Talk about life. Kill the firstborns. Every aspect of creation Hashem showed you, I'm the boss. From A to Z. So now watch. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is telling us, I always thought you had to mention this one pasuk of Shema, of Yetziat Mitzrayim, only in the morning. And that will give you enough emunah for 24 hours. Like you eat breakfast, it keeps you going for 3, 4 hours, 5 hours. This statement, Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Hoceti Etchem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, should give you enough emunah in Hashem, that He runs your business and your health and your wealth and everything around you for 24 hours. Because that pasuk is telling you about what? Dam, Tzvardeh, Kinim, Arov, the ocean, the light, life, everything. I'm controlling it, Hashem says. Then he said, I found a source that you have to say it again at night because you have to recharge your batteries. It's not enough just to say it once a day. You got to get that battery recharged. It's not enough just to have breakfast. You got to make sure you have another meal to keep you going till breakfast again. And Rabotai, so therefore when we say this pasuk of Shema, don't just kacha chele bele. Realize what you're saying. Ani Hashem. This is the foundation of Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is one pasuk. And all your frustrations and question marks have to be answered with this one pasuk. Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Hoceti Etchem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Hashem, you run the world. You control the traffic. You decide if I have a parking spot. You decide how is going to be my wife's food this evening, if it's going to be too salty or not. You run the world. And this should keep you going with this emunah pshuta. Rabotai, for those of you who knew Rabbi Walken, once again, it was all about emunah. He lived a life HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, he has a beautiful house in Lakewood. And he used to sleep in Queens 2-3 times a week in an apartment maybe this size.
Much smaller.
And he had a small little room over there. That was saying, listen, I'm here in this world to serve Hashem, to inspire, to do chesed, to teach Torah, because I'm not going to be here forever. How many of us put all our efforts in olam hazeh, and ta'avot, and pleasures, and running after desires? Right, Rabotai, let's get our priorities straight. Torah is our first priority. Making money is important, and you should make a lot of money, b'zrat Hashem. Why such a low amen? What happened? Huh? You should make a lot of money, but Rabotai, don't forget this Torah. Don't forget this chesed. Make that your priority in life. And when you have a frustration, Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Hoceitichem Eretz Mitzrayim should give you a dose of emunah for 12 hours from Shacharit till Arvit, and then from Arvit to Shacharit on a daily basis. Don't just run by it. And Bezrat Hashem, if we take this message to heart, I have no doubt we're going to have a better understanding of perspective. We'll be much more calmer. We'll live our lives more at ease. And Bezrat Hashem, we should be zoche that this year we should have a zechut to do the Korban Pesach. And we should all be in Yerushalayim Mir HaKodesh. Yerushalayim HaBenuya VaTabet HaMikdash B'mira B'Amenu. Amen V'Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.